They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
Ah.
Did you ever do like prank phone calls when
yes.
you were a kid? Oh man, yes. Some of them were just so
dumb.
So dumb.
Yeah,
so
you'd dumb. Call up and say, hey, is your fridge running?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah. You go, well, catch it when it goes past.
As if nobody had said that before.
Hello, is Mr. Wall there? No. Is Mrs. Wall there? No. Are there any walls there? No. Well, then what's holding your roof up? And we'd do it from a payphone too, yeah. Just in case they were tracking us. Like, so dumb.
Like, they will never know.
Never
today,
ever know.
The joy of calling up a number, there being no caller ID.
Yes.
Like, unless they kind of had to really work it out.
You could have, what was it? Star 10 hash it?
Yeah, something like that. And we'll call back to the same number. Oh, man. But if you're on that payphone. Fucking hell, how funny is it seeing somebody at a payphone now?
Yeah, yeah.
Very funny.
Well, it was, I don't know if we talked about this, but leading up to Christmas, you could call Santa from the payphone.
Yes.
And my kids did it at the payphone just near our house. And I'm like, cool. So just children and people doing drug deals. Yeah, that's who we're putting in phone booths.
More people. Just stalking people. Yes. Just making like abusive phone calls. Those are the
There's
ones.
Kids waiting going, can I talk to Santa now?
20 a bag. That's outrageous.
I'll fucking cut you.
Okay, kids. Move along.
Somebody's on the naughty list.
Sounds like Santa's busy. He's bringing a lot of white snow.
Man, his sack is really full of energy. This is shitting with the door open. What a time to do an intro. We are currently probably in our most opulent studio to date.
Oh, yeah. A long ways from the shed.
It's a long way.
A long way from the shed. A long road. But we got here, buddy.
And we're in person. We're in the same fucking room.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it's good. We're at the Langham Hotel in Melbourne.
Which is a fancy hotel.
It is a fancy pants hotel.
It's a fancy one. It's like a very opulent place.
Yes.
I think.
But you know what? Like any hotel, they're all just not my bed.
No.
That's just it. Like, it's nice. I'm on tour with Russell Howard. I'm having a great time. And I'm not wishing it away. I'm going to enjoy this tour. He only does it sort of every 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to enjoy it. However, I'm also really missing my family.
Yeah,
you know, I've been away for Walter's birthday, which is why we did early birthday parties and early camping experience and all of that. Marigold's first day at kindy today. I miss that. Leonard's got a date on the weekend, and so Hannah has had to facilitate that with the mother. I'm away for that, and that's just hard.
Like, that's a lot of stuff.
Yes,
it's a lot of stuff to miss. Yeah, there's some real kind of like there's a real cost.
Yes,
to being like a traveling. Parent,
yes, you know,
working,
absolutely.
Working, traveling parent, and so like from the outside, it can look like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and it is
because that's what I put up on Instagram.
That's right? What we all put up on Instagram.
Look at the big gig I did last night. I'm having a great time. Hey, I've got a show on sale. You know, because it's all business. But the truth of it is, and this is the podcast where I give the truth, is that it's a complex thing that's happening.
Very
it's
complex.
Great, and it's lonely, and it's exciting, and it's tedious.
It's just like sex.
You're doing it wrong.
It's just like wanking. It's great.
It's exciting and tedious. Yes. That is a wank.
It's great and it's lonely. Pure
wank. In fact,
wank.
You're sitting where I had my last one.
Just going to stand up and move to a different part. But I reckon
there's no way you can go.
I was about to say, no matter where I move to in this room.
Do not bring a black line in here. No, to be honest with you, I just slept. I, you know, just gets exhausting having to do that work on your own. Like, fuck it. I'll just look at the river.
But Instagram is such a funny one. Like, it really is that, because you know logically.
You know logically
that what you see is pretend.
Yes.
You know logically that it's all a facade.
Yeah.
That it's like a fucking, it's like a painted mansion.
Yeah.
But when you go inside the mansion, it's just crumbling walls.
Yes.
But there's also a swimming pool. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It's like it's a fucking
with asbestos in it.
Yeah. It is such a weird one because I will spend way too much time on Instagram.
Oh, way too much.
Just time. I will lose hours.
Yeah.
Just scrolling reels, fucking checking out what people are doing.
Yeah.
Getting like that that fear of like, oh fuck. A's doing this and B's doing this and C's doing this.
Mate.
Why aren't I doing it?
Yes.
Why, instead of just going, oh, because you're on fucking Instagram,
yeah.
Get off that, run your own race,
yep.
Which I know I should be doing.
Yes.
You start to work, it gets a bit hard. So you put it down, easily distracted because we've got fucking rat brains at the moment.
Yeah,
like
mate,
7 seconds.
Rat brains.
It's fucking so bizarre. I find it so hard to like stay concentrated. See, then you pick up social media, fucking scroll through that and go, oh, well, this is fucked. And then you kind of lose all that motivation for work.
Yes.
But of course, because you've trained your brain to fucking consume content in fucking 10-second intervals, 20-second intervals.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch a video that'll be 30 seconds. I'll get bored.
Yeah. I check how long it's got left.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I watch the start. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, well, just fast forward.
Oh.
I don't want to... Like, I don't have, like, 20 seconds to watch. I'll watch the first 5 and the last 5. I'll just skip the 20. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, mate. Oh, it's the absolute end of days for our ability to pay attention.
Yeah, it's no wonder that AI is taking over.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, now I don't even have to, like, create the content myself. I can get something to watch, create the content, and then they'll have AI to watch the content for you.
Yeah, and I'll just be in the corner, just like, you know, that movie WALL-E.
Beautiful movie.
Where everyone's up on the spaceship out in outer space because the world's becoming inhospitable. And then they get so fat and their bones actually shrink and they're just jelly. That's what is going to become of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Anyway, how did you go after last week?
What?
Because we were talking about like a lot.
Oh, shitgate.
The shitgate.
Shitgate. Yeah, we both. Well, I did listen back to some of that too. Very funny. And what a great picture of you with the pink glove on. And credit to my lovely lady wife who put the video together. Oh,
I loved it so much. The beautiful, serene backdrop.
And me with some sort of guru scarf on.
Yeah.
And then you pop up with the pink glove.
I almost took that like picture to make it more realistic without my top on. But I was like, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh, disgusting.
Aww.
And another problem with social media.
Yes.
Another problem with Instagram.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I couldn't do it.
Right.
I couldn't possibly do
we're
it.
We're putting up a photo shirts off.
Oh. we'll put our little heads as our nipples.
Yeah. I already love it. Well, I had the shits, 16 shits in 30 hours, just to recap. And
just a wee recap.
Just a wee, pun intended, recap. And then I came good just before I went on tour, which is good because you don't want to be like that on tour. Uh-oh, fast forward, all three of us, so Russell, myself, and our tour manager, Kuma, something happened. And it was like phase 2. It wasn't as bad as what happened for me at home, but to the point where 5 minutes before I went on stage, I just went, guys, I've got to go. And they're like, what? And I went, yeah, I have never shit that close to being on stage. I literally finished shitting. Basically, it was in Newcastle. You're welcome, Newcastle. And I... It basically walked out of the toilet and on stage.
They would have loved it in Newcastle.
Yeah. Luckily, there was a big room because that stank was still on me.
The air following you around.
Yeah, it's been hectic. And how is the plumbing?
Oh, well, happily all resolved.
Great.
The dude turns up and he was like, you know, like when you see somebody who's like good looking and unexpectedly good looking.
Ooh.
He was like this good looking dude.
A good looking turd herder.
But he had the biggest smile. He was in the best mood.
Great.
He was just like whistling Oasis songs, walking up the path.
Brilliant.
And he's knocking on the door. He's like, g'day, Wade. I'm here to fix the plumbing. Got a problem with the toilet, do you? Like he could have been like a model, like a Kmart model.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I was like a bit taken aback. I wasn't expecting like this. I was like, oh, hello,
sir. I suppose that kind of job, you've got two choices. Be happy about it or just be in a constant stink.
Exactly. He chose the correct path.
Good on him.
He was excellent. Anyway.
Did you root him?
Oh, of course. I did. A few pipes got plumbed that day.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. Anyway, when's the wedding?
I came down the side, showed him the problem. He was like, yeah, no worries. I'll take care of that for you. And I thought, because the house is so old, the plumbing's so old, I thought, fuck, this high pressure hose is going to destroy the fucking the pipes. Turns out, all
what about
fine.
The plumbing?
So I'm just working away inside, and the whole time he's just singing. It was all Oasis, just like non-stop Oasis songs.
How old was this guy?
I reckon early 30s.
Right, and he's banging out Oasis.
Just but the best mood, early to mid 30s. Anyway, it didn't take him that long. He finished up, knock on the door, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll show you what I've done." And then he had found like the pipe where the mains, the house mains, connect to the street mains.
Oh, yeah.
On the property.
Yeah,
like, you know, like that kind of like the down pipe where ours connect to theirs. Yeah. And he's, which is like 18 meters. I counted out like 18 meters away.
Right.
That was all clogged up.
Wow.
With shit and toilet paper.
Dear Lord.
So.
And so it's all gone. So it's at that juncture that it's blocked.
That's when it's blocked.
Backing all the way back into the house.
So it's backed all the way back into the house. And so that sleepover with the thing, that was just speeding up a process that was inevitable.
Right.
So what had happened was, because nobody had lived there for, this is going to be a bit gross, but nobody had lived there for like a
couple of years, a year and a half.
A year, like a year. And so the last person used the toilet, that paper and shit had fucking dried and hardened and formed like a little
a cork.
And because the piping is quite old, it had dropped a little bit from the house mains, it dropped a little bit to connect to the street mains, so there was like a lip, and so everything was just catching on this lip, so there was a cork that had caught on the lip. Then the toilet paper and the shit just kept catching and catching and catching and catching until it just couldn't go down anymore.
And you had your hand in it.
Well, the way to my shoulders.
Historical shit.
It's not just fresh. All the way. And that shit had been built up for like 18 meters. And I was like, fucking right
fucking
up to the elbow.
Hell.
But not just shit, don't worry. It was also laundry water and dishwater. So we're okay.
So you were clean.
Anyway, he took like a high pressure hose. He said like 5,000 PSI hose, which sounds pretty intense.
That's a lot.
And just fucking blasted it all away. And he goes, yeah, problem solved. It'll probably happen again sometime in the next few months or few years, but it will happen again. And
because of
like,
that lip.
Because of the lip.
Yeah.
And I said, not my problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And then he sent me through CCTV footage of it. Like, because he put the camera down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of it being cleared away.
Oh, no one wants to see that.
No.
But I kind of do.
It was so disgusting. And it was, that was the footage of everything being cleared. I wanted to see the footage of it while it was blocked.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Because he sent me the footage of everything, like the water flowing.
Well, this is the full service, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get sent the footage.
I was like, this is so gross. but they were great. Anyway, problem solved.
Everything's fine. You can freely use the toilet.
We can freely use the toilet. We're going to stay there till the start of April. But I am a bit over the house. Like, it's good to have a roof over your head.
Oh, absolutely.
You cannot deny that.
Sure.
But, you know, hot days, there's no real aircon,
which is
real hard.
The kitchen, and it's not your place.
It's not my place. The kitchen is small and pokey.
Yeah.
And you can't
move.
No
good for a cook like you.
No good when I'm messy as fuck. And you can't move without bumping into something. So every time you wash, like a plate, it has to be washed, dried, put away. Because there's just no space.
That's like our house.
Yeah, to do anything. Which I guess is good habits to get into, but very frustrating.
So, yeah, totally. Know? Yeah, it just adds to the load. I think there's a part of our living at our house that you were there and you were helping out very much with the dishes, so you know it well, that you just can't even store dirty dishes.
No.
It's such a small place to store it. So you just have to wash. You have to put it over on the drying rack. Then you've got to get that away because the next load's coming through.
Yeah.
And the difference, just the small thing of a dishwasher would make to our lives.
Oh my gosh. That
would free up probably around 2 hours a day.
Yes.
Just to have
2 hours
straight into that. That's a fucking lot.
Especially when you've got like your size family.
Yes. And when you're Hannah at the moment, who is solo parenting 4 children with very specific needs, all 4 of those children. It's a lot.
It is
a lot. And that dishwasher would make a difference. In fact, I'll say it right here. With the money I'm making on this tour, dishwasher is going in the rental. I'm not even asking for approval.
Yeah.
I'm putting it in. I've got to do it. Because it's ridiculous to spend that time. You know, like I'm quite a pared back, practical kind of guy in everything anyway. And so I find the idea of a dishwasher a ridiculous bit of opulence.
Oh, not me.
Because that's in my head. But then I'm like, stop being a martyr and suffering through this bullshit. Yeah. Get a dishwasher.
You just stack it up, turn it on, end of the day, problem solved. But I have noticed like the girls, I've just been like, oh no, you're helping. I'm not doing this all the time by myself. Yeah. So they were drying and now they're like washing and drying. I'll take care of like the big stuff and the knives.
Yeah.
And they'll just do like the plates and glasses and like the chopping board, you know, like all the little things.
We do that a little bit.
Which is pretty good.
To be honest with you, it's just easier to get it done without them.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a problem. That's to their detriment. I've got to get them
but
involved.
But you're also like different ages.
Yes,
10
totally.
And 8, very different to like thing.
13 and a half and then 7 and 4. And so you'll ask the 13 and a half year old to do something. He's like, why are they? You're like, well, because Marigold can't reach the sink, mate.
Yeah.
And she will just break everything. So there's an age appropriateness. But look, all of the children have little jobs that they have to do around the house. The benefit of a dishwasher would be Marigold is actually old enough to help stack that.
And unload it.
And unload it, absolutely. Yeah. And then they're involved a bit more.
Yeah.
Anyway,
getting
a dishwasher. Anyone listening who wants to sponsor me,
we're looking at you, Mr. Bosch, Mr. Westinghouse.
Oh yeah, Westinghouse definitely listens to this podcast.
Miele, you fuck.
Shitting with the door open, brought to you by Miele.
I've got a Miele vacuum cleaner, and it's very, very good.
Ooh.
We've had it for probably 10 years. And it is excellent.
I have a Makita vacuum cleaner.
Oh, hello.
Because the batteries match my saw.
I tried one of this is like you really get into fucking, you get to a certain age, it's all about vacuum cleaners. Like I tried like the Dyson stick.
Yeah, I had one of those.
I did not care for it.
No, I did smashed not, mine against the fucking
did not
fence.
Care for it one bit. I found like emptying it always a hassle. It was never seemed to be just like an easy press the button. It always like, I'm pressing the button, it's not working. I give it a shake. Oh, okay, it's emptied. Fuck everywhere rather than in the bin.
Yeah.
Like the suction, like the heavy suction, which was good, lasts like 5 minutes.
Oh, totally.
And then
that's for a one-bedroom apartment, that.
And then the medium suction, which would last forever. I'm like, yeah, but you're missing heaps of spots.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's not getting it done.
Fuck you, Dyson.
Yeah, fuck you, Dyson. And fuck you for giving me a free one. That actually happened. I said I wanted one on radio, and they gave me it. But then the battery crapped out, and I just in a fit of rage, just smashed it. Because I'm like, I don't want it anyway. I didn't pay for it. The battery's fucked. And literally the day after I did that, I don't know how the algorithm works, but on Instagram, on a reel, there was a Dyson hack on how to put a Makita battery on a Dyson to get it to work. And I was like, motherfucker.
Fuck, those little fits of rage. I had a little burst the other day. Didn't smash a vacuum, but it was something like she was like, oh, fuck, I can't fit the shirts in this drawer, whatever it was. And then Claire was like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I could, her tone was like trying to calm me down.
Yeah, right. Confronting.
Confronting. And then I had like another one. I was like trying to wash some dishes or put some stuff away, and I was like, oh, I had a little another mini explosion. And Penny's like, oh, I'm sorry, Dad, sorry. Nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
And so I realize slowly but surely these little fucking bursts.
Yeah.
These little fucking outbursts of mine, they affect people. Whereas absolutely I like have a little outburst, get it out, move on with my day.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes it'll like the stink around it will last a bit longer.
Yeah.
But I've just haven't thought about how it affects the other people in the house.
Yeah, mate.
But it is affecting them. Now, and that is a very confronting thing.
This is a heavy statement, but I really believe in this. You know that whole not all men?
Yeah.
When it comes to violence, right? Any kind of domestic violence, there's always someone go, not all men. You know, it's not all men that do this. I would say, yes, actually, all men have the fucking ability.
The capacity
to do that.
Yeah.
And that was a confronting thing for me to feel and to believe. And I'm glad that I have, because I know that... Actually, no, I reckon I could. I reckon I could just snap and bad shit would happen, because out of nowhere, I just smashed a fucking vacuum cleaner because the battery wasn't working. That's not a mature and normal thing to do.
No, and I think when you're saying where bad things would happen, I think like it'd be nothing like physical. I think it'd be just like being a big angry bear.
Yes.
Yelling and scaring and mentally scarring.
Yes.
Like that's correct.
I'm already doing that. I've already done that.
I've done that. Yes. I've done like just kind of like flipped out of them. I remember once for some reason like the tap outside tap was broken. And I told them not to play with it. And then they started playing with it. And then I couldn't get it to turn off.
Right.
Now instead of just turning off the water mains and going, well, I'll just deal with this tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that's what we'll do. We'll just go buy some bottles of water. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
I lost it at them.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me 10 minutes to think of like fucking turning off the water mains because I was too busy yelling.
In a rage. Yeah. And it solved no problem.
It solved zero issues.
Yeah.
Or they fucking would leave like the car door open. Yeah. And like the light will go on and will drain the battery.
Yes.
Instead of just going, all right, well, just call RACV and have a word to them and say, hey, look, this is what's happened and now you can't do this because of the situation. Like that's the consequence.
Yep.
In a calm way. Raged at them.
Yeah.
Until they were like,
and again, solved nothing.
Solved.
And fractured your relationship.
Solved. Didn't teach them not to do it.
No.
It just taught them to hide problems.
Yeah. Yes.
That's all it does.
That's a fucking great point.
And so I'm really trying hard to just be like, hey, if you have a problem, come to me. And sometimes it's not going to go well for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want you to be able to feel a safe space, because when you're in trouble, you come to your parents.
That's right.
You come to mum, you come to dad.
And if you can't, you're going to get in heaps more trouble.
Yeah.
If you can't go to your parents, that should be the people that you feel safest with and can confide anything in, then you're probably going to make really dumb decisions.
Especially in those teenage years.
Yes.
If they can't make like major fuck-ups when they're like 15 or 16 and then say, be able to call us up and say, hey, look, I'm in this situation. Can you come get me? No questions asked. Then I should be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel I would in that situation, but I'm not building that trust now.
Yes, absolutely.
Know what I mean? Like if they got themselves into a situation like, oh, I'm out fucking, I ended up in Geelong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it's fucking at 2 o'clock in the morning at a house party. Can you please come and get me?
I'm in the car straight away.
Straight away. No problem. No questions asked. Yeah. Who else needs a ride?
Yeah.
Let's go. But I'm not building that relationship with them now.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not building that trust. They're not going to have... We can get it. Like I can get it.
Oh, you can.
It's not a lost situation.
The horse
situation.
Is not bolted.
No.
But and being aware of this, I think, is the first step anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that me always unpacking these rages that we talk about with my kids is the best scenario, but it's better than not unpacking it.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do the behavior in the first place. I know that. I should be developing an ability to regulate my emotions better as an adult man. I know that.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that. However, after these moments, I make sure I always discuss that with the children. They know that my emotions are never ever their fault in any way, even if they're fuckheads and didn't shut the fucking door after I've asked 12 fucking times.
Even it's the third time Jesus I've had to call Christ. RACV to get that battery fucking changed.
But it is genuinely still not their fault. My emotions are nobody's fault.
No, I will always, and I'm with you, I will always say to them afterwards, like from a place of like shame.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say, hey, look,
shame.
I overreacted.
Yeah.
Like what happened was not a good thing to happen. It was wrong, but I could have dealt with that in a better way. I expect you to deal with your situations in a better way and your kids. I expect more of myself.
Yes.
And I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't be afraid to tell me things.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of this kind of area, I don't really have an answer on this, but it's a current thing that Hannah and I are really trying to come up with a plan on. Where do you stand on sleepovers? Because...
Oh, we're fine with them.
Oh, yeah. Now, we haven't really had much of a conversation about them in the past, and the teenager is asking for a sleepover, and I'm away and haven't met the parent, and I've just said no until I'm back, which...
Well, I think it's totally fair.
Totally fair, and it's brought... a great angst from him. In fact, we ended our phone call yesterday with you just being a dick from him to me. And I went, what? And he goes, yeah, I'm going. I'm like, that's the way we're going to finish this phone call, because I've said you're not having a sleepover until I'm back. Yeah, can I go? And then hung up. I'm like, okay. Anyway, that's fine. Like, I understand them, because he's got this idea. I remember having a fight with my mum on a bus for a school trip because she wouldn't let me sit beside my then girlfriend. I was 12 years old and I was furious. And Mum knew exactly what was going to go on up the back of that bus. She was like, "You're not sitting up there." And I'm like, "Fuck!" Anyway, whatever.
So funny that you were going to get up to that kind of mischief with your mum on the bus.
I know. There's very, very little opportunities. Anyway, like, I get it. I get his emotion. My challenge is that I read this post article about sleepovers from this woman who said when she was growing up, she was always really angry at her mum for not allowing to have sleepovers.
Yeah.
And then as an adult woman, she was saying thank you to that mother for doing that, because I think you kept me safe. And then the fucking feedback she got and the comment section of people that had been assaulted at sleepovers, I can't unsee that.
Oh, wow.
You know, and again, I don't have the answer here, but I just think there is a little bit from me as a parent of work that needs to be done into making sure that the houses that my children are going to stay in are safe places.
Yeah.
It's not just, I've met the mum at school, everything's fine. I don't know who they're allowing in their house. I don't know who their neighbour is. I don't know what their uncle's like. Yeah. I don't know what the older sibling's like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, and this is very gendered, what I'm about to say. I have, whether it's right or wrong, greater concern for my daughter's safety in this context than I do for my son's.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, but that's how I'm feeling and that's what I'm doing. So in preparation for my daughter doing sleepovers, I feel like I have to set some boundaries for my sons. Now, the reality is boys also get assaulted. I'm not saying that they don't. Just if you're looking at a numbers in a spreadsheet, the numbers are worse for young women. And I'm just feeling a bit challenged by the decision I have to make, because I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. I don't think that this is black and white in any way.
This is a very heavy topic.
It is really heavy, because one of the things that my teenager said to me was, well, I have sleepovers at Grandma Maeve and Pa's. I'm like, that is completely different.
Yeah.
That's my parents' house. That's your house.
Yes.
That's not a sleepover. That is, you know, that's family.
Yeah.
Not to say that family can't be a problem. But, you know, I think the main issue with this current situation, and I think you have to look at it at a case-by-case basis, I don't know this person. I have not met them. I have not been to the house.
Yep.
I am the gatekeeper.
Yes.
And I will do all of those things. I'm not going to be lazy about this side of parenting.
It's
because I would rather not meet the parent, by the way. I'd rather not go around to the house. I don't want fucking any new people in my life.
It's one of those situations where you're not going to become popular to your kid.
No.
But your job isn't to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your job isn't
They're not my friends.
No.
I'm in charge of them.
Yes.
And in charge of their safety in every fucking way.
They are my little mates and we hang out, we have fun, but I'm the boss.
Yes.
I'm the one who has to keep them safe.
Yep.
I'm the one who has to live with any like terrible decisions that are made. Well, not just me, obviously. You know, like, we all have to live with like a bad decision. And so, yeah, I'm with you. But the girls have sleepovers, but they're all...
You have a very close community of people that you
we
know.
We have some close...
And I would
community.
Say some of the people that your girls are sleeping over at have gone from friends to almost family in terms of how close you are together.
Yes.
Their kids come to your house.
And the girls have known some of these people for like years and years and years. So, yeah. So it's not like I would let them go for a sleepover at just a complete stranger's house.
No.
No way. Like, I don't know, like, the parents, I've met them. We haven't hung out in the social situation.
Well, Leonard said to me just before he said I was being a dick. He said to me, you know, I can get a job this year. And in a couple of years' time, I'll be able to get my license. And then in just over 4 years' time, I'll be 18 and I'll be able to move out. And I said, yeah, just imagine all the sleepovers you can have then, champ. So I was probably being a bit of a dick. But I'm like, yeah, so what, mate?
So
and then I can add, in 20 years' time, you can be doing this, and in 40 years' time. But right now, at this point,
and is it a sleepover at a mate's place or a sleepover at your place?
No, sleepover at a mate's place.
Yeah.
It's an absolute 100% always yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, I would say no now while I'm away because it's too much on Hannah. But yeah, you want to have your mates over here for a sleepover?
Yeah.
Tents in the backyard.
Go for it.
I'll make sure that you get your space and keep the little kids away and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No problem at all.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Yeah, you just got to wait till you're back.
Yes, totally.
Meet them, facilitate, problem solved.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like I would love it to go, absolutely, mate, jump on your bike, off you go.
Yeah.
See you in a couple of days. But it's not the world we live in.
13 is it's a very easy age to feel wounded and indignant.
Yes.
It's completely. Very easy to be like, you've made that transition out of childhood.
Yeah.
But you're not an adult.
You're not too right.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm feeling all sorts of levels of guilt and compassion for him because, you know, I would say, you know how kids go, all my friends are doing it. I don't think he's wrong when he says, all my friends have Snapchat, all my friends have Facebook, all my friends have Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, cool. I think their parents have made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
So, sorry, man. You're not getting it.
Yeah. I am with you. I'm going to wait till the girls are much older. And then they will have that decision.
Well, we're aiming for 15.
Well, that's what I'm going for as well.
Yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah,
and
I think it's too early, but I don't know if I can push him far past that just because of what's around him.
And at some stage, they'll just get it.
Yes,
they'll totally. Just find their way to it.
Yeah,
they'll find like an illegal phone. They'll get the app. They'll get it all happening, and then you won't be aware of it.
The fact that he hasn't figured out how to turn off the child stuff that we've got on it. So every app that he wants to download comes to us for an approval first. And I am absolutely certain he could figure out how to turn that off, but hasn't figured out that he can. You know?
Yeah, right.
So as soon as that happens, I'm like, right, well, now what?
Now what?
Yeah.
We got a family plan for Spotify the other day.
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
And so everybody now has their own little Spotify account.
Yeah.
Because I was getting annoyed. Because, you know, I'd listen to it and then all of a sudden I'd be out of the house and then the song would change because everyone wants to use it.
Oh, yes.
Which is fine. Yeah. Whatever. But I have just put the girls in as adults because I didn't want to have to, like, download the kids app onto the fucking, onto their laptops and make it a thing. So I've just given them a fair amount of, like, responsibility, a fair amount of freedom to be you just have here. You have access to...
A lot of content
on Spotify. But they are such little nervous kids about listening to, like, swear words and songs.
That's funny.
And all they want to do is listen to, like, kids' podcasts and stuff.
Yeah.
So I have I have a lot of trust in them. But they are also aware that laptops are not private areas.
Well,
There's no privacy on the laptop. The laptops stay in the lounge.
Yes.
And if I want to come look at what you're doing, I will come and look at what you're doing. And it won't be until you're much older where that stops happening.
Now, I've got a huge logistical issue with that because recently saw a childhood psychologist expert talking about how YouTube should never be in a private space.
Yeah.
It should always be out in the public area so that that will mitigate some of the things that they are going to watch because they're in the public area. My problem is I can let the teenager have more time on screens and watch different kind of content than I can the younger kids, so I don't want him out in the public area, in the lounge room or whatever that is, and also I don't want to be in his room policing what he's watching.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes I just have to give you're not watching that now, and he's like, why? And I'm not going to tell him because the truth is because I don't have time to sit in your room with you.
Yeah.
And you can't be out here with the little kids.
Yeah.
So sorry. But what he does have is open access to Spotify because he's a musician and I trust him and all he's doing is listening to the music that he cares about anyway.
Yeah.
But I just go, you just can cut sick on there, man.
Do whatever
you want.
Yeah.
YouTube is a problem because they just jump on the same sort of thing as Facebook Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, and God damn the content that just gets fed into these kids.
It is gross. Like I've noticed on the algorithm, on like even the Instagram algorithm, you'll just be watching something and all of a sudden there's some alt-right dude.
Yes.
Just fucking yakking it
absolutely.
Up. I'm like, what the fuck? So, you know, you go like, not interested, don't want to watch that. And then it's just some like, you know, like be attractive woman. Like just being attractive.
Yeah.
Like, and young and just being very sexualized.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, no, I just want cooking stuff, please.
Yes.
Get me back to the cooking. Get me some history facts. Get me some film facts.
Yeah.
That's what I want to watch. And so you have to really fucking filter. But those filters don't seem to last long.
No.
They just keep like coming back and coming back and coming back.
Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah, no, all of a sudden you've got teenage boys that are being directly targeted with content from people like Andrew Tate.
And I had Andrew Tate pop up on my thing the other day. Did it was you? Some like Tate fucking fan account where he was like interviewing him. And I'm like, how did this happen?
Why?
All I do is watch cooking videos.
Yes.
Like that's it.
Mine's all woodwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden there'll be like Ben Shapiro will pop up with some fucking rant.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do I even know this guy's name?
Yes.
Why is this happening?
What the fuck
and
is
so
going on?
And so then you go, because Leonard called me a helicopter parent in this whole conversation. I'm like, I am absolutely not. But I am being forced by the rapidness of technology to be a bit more helicopter about things.
Yes.
Because I love and care for you. And you are so susceptible to being radicalized.
At that age?
Oh, mate.
So easily. Yeah. To have like a little kernel put in their head. Mm-hmm. And that grows and grows and grows and grows. 6 months later... Fucking, they're down that QAnon rabbit hole.
As their natural biological resentment for their parents is happening. That's a normal thing to happen.
Yep.
It's meant to happen so that they leave the tribe and go to the other tribe so that it wards against inbreeding, right? That's like it's a really normal thing for your teenager to think you're a fucking idiot.
Yes.
And then what you're meant to do as a parent is to make sure there's other dynamic adults in their life that they can go to. I'm fortunate that I have great parents and brothers and sister and mates. And so Leonard's getting that from other people. But if they're in that mood, my dad's a dick, and then next thing pops up, Andrew Tate, listen, you can be an alpha, mate.
Yeah.
You can be in control of anything.
And then for them to feel like they're part of the secret club.
Absolutely.
This is us against them. Yep. So we're part of this club. Yep. Don't worry, you know. Yep. They don't know. Yes. Which is already something that like teenagers want to feel.
Yep.
That's what human beings want to feel.
Yeah.
They want to feel like they know something that other people don't know. That's how conspiracy theories take hold.
Yeah.
So this super fucking spongy age for it, just ready to fucking soak it all in. So you gotta be so careful. It is such a
and
fucking
I'm not gonna let it happen on my watch.
Crazy world out there.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's a part of me too that, because I've got so many fucking children, I feel like with the older one, I'm a little bit done. You know, I trick myself into, he doesn't need me. The opposite is the truth.
He needs you now more than ever.
Way more than ever.
Yep.
Now is the real business time. The next 5 years, I am flat out.
Yep.
And I'm glad that I've caught it in that time.
Yeah.
You know, I've just started the construction of my workshop before I left to come on this tour. I'm literally getting the workshop built so that I can have all the tools laid out so that my kids have open access to that. Because if I'm taking screens away, then I've got to provide environments for them to use their creativity. I can't just go no screens. Well, then what do? I don't know. Figure it out. But if I provide a space for them to be creative and build and do all of that, and then I can be with them in that space and try and maintain a really strong connection, then when these moments of these absolute fucking predators pop up in their lives, they know that they've got a security with me. I saw this other point the other day. If you want to protect your kids against this kind of predator radicalization or any kind of assault, make them feel... Very secure in who they are and their identity.
Yeah, great.
The more secure and strong and powerful they feel, the less likely they are to accept any kind of manipulation or gaslighting, or that kind of shit. And it sounds really simple, but you're like, oh yeah, just build up their self-esteem.
Yep.
So that they are walking tall and confident.
Yes.
And then they would be like, fuck off, mate.
Yeah, like... Why do you know?
Yeah.
I rule.
Yeah, totally. I don't need you.
It's funny, like, because they'll come up to you like, can we watch TV? And I'm like, nah. Well, what do I do? Like, I don't draw a picture? No.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to bake something? No. Should we go outside and play soccer? No. Well, you just do whatever you want to do, just with no screens. Like, yeah, but there's nothing to do. Or do you want to read a book, which you fucking do every hour of every day? Do you want to do that? No. So what you want to do is watch TV. Yes. But you're not doing that. No. So what do I do? Like, mate. You do whatever you need to do. But, you know, I'm at the end. If you figure out something we can do together, let's do it.
I built you a cubby house in the mango tree. Yeah but Marigold fell off it. So? She isn't dead. It was a fun day. We all had something to talk about. Get up the tree.
We play Monopoly sometimes, and it's... I just have to keep reminding myself, this is just an exercise and hanging out with the kids.
Yes.
It's not about the rules of the game.
No.
It's not about...
It's being together.
It's just about being together.
Yeah.
Because if we get like 20 minutes in, they're just rolling around in money. Just throwing money in the air, rolling it around. Just like taking properties. I'm like... Who cares what we're doing? We're just hanging out. Yeah. If this is how you want to play Monopoly, fuck, that's how the billionaires play it.
What's that train one?
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride.
That's a fun one.
Hannah introduced it to me, and I really love it. The problem is the pieces are all tiny little trains.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what? Walter's old enough for this. He isn't. He's just playing with all the trains. And I was like, that's not how it works. I'm like, hold on. What? Exactly like you. Why are we doing this?
Yes.
It's just to be together. So do whatever you want, mate.
I remember like playing Mousetrap at a friend's house.
Oh, we never I loved had Mousetrap.
Never played the game.
No, you just set it up.
Yeah.
I played that game maybe once, but probably set it up 1,000 times.
I remember like playing, like, what are we playing for? No, we just set it up and
yeah,
off, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Too fun.
Yeah, I got it for Christmas back in the early 90s, and that's all we did all day long.
But I reckon like a lot of those games, just even a lot of games, I had like Army Soldiers as a kid and G.I. Yes. Joes and yeah. fucking Legos. And well, we had Toro, not Lego. But, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And it was all about the setup.
Yeah.
I'd set up... build up these huge elaborate like battle situations yeah. where I'd set like one army against the other army, they'd have generals and stuff, and then once I'd set it up, I'm like, I'm ready to play. No.
We would do the same. We'd make car tracks in the sandpit,
yeah,
and spend hours building tunnels for the matchbox cars to drive around on the sand, like hours and hours, and then at the end of it you'd go, right, what now? And then Randall would inevitably just run through and kick it all over. Like, well, that was a little logical end, I guess. All right. Great.
Oh, man. Man, so good to be in person.
Fucking oath, it's good to be in person. Hey, that was a good chat. Some of it got a bit heavy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much exactly like us. We'll talk about having a hand and a shit pipe. And then sexual predators. And like, honestly, I know I said it a few times. I'm just figuring it out as I go along. And I just wanted to ask you some big questions.
Man, that's all we're doing.
Yeah.
There's so much fucking advice out there. And don't take like our... We're having a conversation.
Even though we have multiple degrees, do not take our advice.
No, we are working it out as we're going along. Yeah. And then after this ends, this recording ends, we'll probably come up with something better.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So we're just having a conversation. We're just starting the conversation.
Well, after this, we're going to record a Patreon episode.
Yes.
That's just about some sweet, sweet pork ribs I made.
Oh, lovely. Yep. And I made a schnitzel that was very good. Ooh. And we have to answer a Patreon question.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I can't wait for. Oh, but also, the trailer for The Remains is now up.
Great.
It came up yesterday. It's ready to go.
Yes.
So give it a listen, subscribe, and then next Monday the 4th of March, it goes like the entire series will drop.
And this is
on Spotify, on Apple.
For listeners, this is a horror podcast.
This is a horror podcast.
It is not us talking about our dicks.
No, it is not. The Remains.
Well, because I got a message on my website going, what is this?
Yeah, I got several messages. And I realized that I maybe should have like explained.
Trigger warning.
Better. Trigger warning.
There is, it's fabulous, by the way. You've done a great job.
Thanks,
but
man.
If you're not into horror.
And it's quite a lot. There's quite a lot of like graphic sound effects.
Yes.
It gets quite spooky.
Some excellent voice work by some great stars.
For great people. Stand out, Nikki Britton.
Nikki Britton.
Unbelievable.
What a great human being.
What a great human being. But yeah, it is absolutely a horror podcast. So like, listen to it, but just know that it's got a lot of adult themes and be warned that it is not this.
Yes.
It is a fiction thing that I wrote.
Yeah.
And
it's not as professional and well-planned as this.
So give it a listen. And also, Harley's going on tour.
I'm going on tour in May. Everything is on sale now. You can get on there. And I have, it's been such a fortunate position to be in. I'm opening in these massive rooms for Russell and then telling people to buy tickets. And they are, which is super cool. But if you want to get a ticket, I would jump in quick in any of the capital cities.
Oh, great.
Except for Perth at the moment. There's not on sale, but I'm planning something there. But if you want to come and see me, I'd love you to come along. But jump on that pretty quick at my website, harleybreen.com.au.
Oh, good. It's always good to spruik things at the end.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, you could have turned it off by now.
Oh, so we've still got a Patreon. Get on board.
Yeah, get on the Patreon. Yeah.
Find out about these pork ribs.
Ooh, mate. Celebrating.
All right. Love you, mate.
Bye. Love you.